You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
Well, welcome to The Pilgrim on the 405. We're going to be talking today with one of the children of Orange County. Went to school in Corona del Mar, Brett Lawrence, now at Rancho Los Lomas and Town Park Brewery. So welcome to the Pilgrim on the 405, Brett.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us about Rancho Los Lomas.
We're a 32-acre private estate out there in the canyon, about 18 miles inland from Laguna Beach. We've been around for about 50 years now. We've built something quite unique out there. It's kind of a private reserve. We have a nonprofit, so we rescue wild animals. We're focusing a lot on California native species with foxes and stuff. And we also have some exotics, tigers, zebras and stuff. But we're also really known for our wedding venue. We do a lot of events every day of the week, whether it be charitable, weddings, movies, private parties, film shoots, all that fun stuff.
Well, tell me about the animals now. Are they free roaming?
No, well, they're in their enclosures, of course. We can't have a tiger free roaming around when there's a wedding going on. But we have handlers and caretakers. We are really regulated by, you know, USDA Fish and Wildlife. A lot of education. We've had about 9,000 kids visit us since the start of this year. For, you know, each day the school buses come out, educations, eat their lunches, and want to educate them on, you know, our natural habitat and other animals around the world.
So tell us about the business of Rancho Los Lomas.
So, you know, it started out as our home back in the day. My parents just traveled the world a lot, loved animals, loved travel, and they kind of stowed that on me and my brother. So they built this unique property, which ultimately turned into a wedding venue. Wasn't intended in any way, shape, or form to be that, but they did. And in the last 25 years, we've built it into this oasis of not only beautiful weddings, but, you know, like I said, we do from the nonprofit, we do beer and wine tastings. Recently, we started that, opened up multiple areas. We have a couple villas for people to stay the night in and stuff as well. So it's expanding on what my parents did. I now have the opportunity to kind of come up with new ideas.
So tell me what your parents did.
So mom came from Colorado. She wanted to be an actress, and then she moved to California, of course, and then my father was real estate, came from Michigan, bought and sold apartments and houses, restaurants, a lot of Newport Beach back in the day, I guess, was real estate here. There was a lot of it, and people were, I guess, why would you build a house on sand? But he was doing it. Mm-hmm. And so they did that. And one of the properties, you know, including, on top of his other ones, was the ranch. So did that, and then it was restaurants and hotels and trailer parks and apartments and things like that.
So is Rancho Los Lomas a place where people can come to visit?
Yeah. So not only do we have private weddings and events, but we are private property. So we do beer and wine tastings on the weekends. So Saturdays and Sundays between 11 and 7, we offer a different variety of Rancho Los Lomas wines. We have a full bar, so we do infused whiskeys with our oranges. So we do have oranges and apple groves. And we also do beer tastings as well. We brew our own beer.
So tell me about this brewing your own beer.
So 4 years ago, I was looking at the opportunities that my father passed away. So I kind of was figuring out what we could do to reinvent the property. And one of the things was I saw the influx of people that were coming through. And I was getting 50,000 people a year. Why am I selling someone else's beer? Let's do beer. Wine was on the list, and whiskeys were on the list. But beer, you know, beer takes 2 weeks. Wine takes, you know, 2 years, and whiskey takes 20 years.
Yes.
So beer was it, and we started a company called Town Park Brewery. Started out there about 4 years ago, and we ultimately had to grow out of that spot and move to Anaheim.
So tell me about beer. Lots of custom beers around, local beers and things like that. What makes yours different?
Well, you know, I saw a lot of these breweries popping up, and I see a lot of these things that other companies are really were chasing. You know, they're high alcohol content, a lot of infusions with different types of fruits and stuff. They have a niche. I think they're great quality of beers, but for me, I wanted to get to a local drinkable beer. and drinkable for me, I mean, is something you could have one or two of. And so I think ours stands out with the simplicity and the approachability of our beer, which I think has been really being adapted into our community.
Well, breweries apart, starting a business in California is not always easy. So talk to us a little bit about what that was like.
So, you know, I was lucky to have Rancho Las Lomas because we had the people there. But I've always been a kind of a why not entrepreneur. And for me, starting the business is never easy. It doesn't matter if you have, you know, you need the money, of course. You need the idea. But I think it comes with the confidence and the belief that you could do it. If you believe you could do it, it's something where people will believe in you and support you, whether it be raising capital or anything like that. And being here in Orange County, it's you know, there's a lot of capital and there's mm-hmm. a lot of people. So
you had the idea. Was this alone? Did you have a group of people?
So I started it. Yeah, the idea came from me kind of conceptualizing it in my head. My staff ended up at Rancho Las Lomas, got me a brew kit. And so I was brewing in my garage.
So this is a real garage startup.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it was fermenting next to my bed. I have to temperature control it with a jacket and all sorts of fun stuff. But I ended up seeking out, you know, other people that were real professional brewers and partners and things. And, you know, a lot of people who started with me aren't with me today. But that's what it is with any business. You put all your eggs in one basket, you'll realize that sometimes those eggs might crack. So it's tough, but you have to stay strong through the whole thing.
Well, as you're brewing in the garage, presumably you're filling bottles with some sort of cap on it and things like that. What kind of volume were you brewing in your garage?
It was nothing more than a 20-gallon drum. Mm-hmm. Plastic beer fermenting bucket. And from there, we moved to a gravity kit. About a year into it, we got some testing done to a gravity 20-gallon gravity kit, which we were able to produce, I don't know, maybe 4 to 6 kegs every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And we were kind of testing out on friends and family and people coming into the property. And you know, from there, we had to seek out breweries in the area so that we could essentially contract brew, or mm-hmm. they call it gypsy brewing.
Gypsy brewing.
Yeah.
That's contract brewing.
Well, contract brewing is where someone brews your beer for you. Mm-hmm. But we were gypsy brewing we went to 2 different facilities throughout the next 2 years, and those facilities let us brew our beer, our recipes,
right,
at their facility.
All right, so when you started with your garage brewing and you had people giving you feedback, what sorts of things did they say?
Oh, you know, all sorts of things. Like, I think people, you know, when you start out, just like, it's like, I consider brewers like chefs. Mm-hmm. You know, you make someone a pizza and you've probably screwed it up a few times, and everyone wants, as friends, give you that's the best pizza I've ever had. You're going to go somewhere. But you always know they might be pulling your leg or something. Mm-hmm. So you get honest feedback, but you also get a lot of stuff that you realize you know you need to fix. And I guess the constructive criticism.
I want some specific things that you had to fix. I mean, is it like, this tastes sour?
Tastes like anything. Tastes uh-huh. like crap. Uh-huh. Like, uh-huh. you know, beer is a living organism. It gets moldy. It could taste like anything from sour to bitter to just flat out just bad. And because it does, it's a live organism. It's yeast. And if you keep it too hot, it could spoil. So mm-hmm. it could be for anything from rotten eggs. Myers never got that bad. We have had bad batches that we've, you know, one wrong move. It's just like over-salting something. How are you going to get rid of that? You know, so for us, one wrong move, you spoil a whole batch. You got to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, not different from a pharmaceutical company.
I guess so, yeah.
I mean, I have clients who are work with pharmaceutical companies, and, you know, they can ruin a batch, and that's millions of dollars.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's well, beer is like a chemistry set. Mm-hmm. You know, you have water, you have yeast, grain, and hops. You know, your grain is your flavor profile. That's where you're going to get your maltiness and your flavors there. And then you have your water, of course, which then you have your hops, which is going to be your bitterness and the aroma. But, you know, when you throw the yeast in there and you, if you pitch it too soon or you do whatever, it's gonna create a any sort of, it could be good or it could be horrible. And you know, it's the water, from the water, the quality of that, to the pH balance, to the beer, to the boil, to the too much oxygen can oxidize your beer as well too. So it's all about them when you package it too, you need to be really careful. And cleanliness. Mm. Cleanliness.
Now, I believe that if some person can do something in the world, if there's one person that can do it, anybody else can do it if they have two things. An absolute indomitable will, and they have somebody who can teach them how to do it.
100%.
So did you have somebody who could teach you how to do it?
You know, I think it would come from my father and my mother. They didn't teach me exactly how to make beer. They taught me how to think for myself and how to have belief in myself. Mm-hmm. And I guess that comes with the will. You know, people are afraid. A lot of people have ideas, but nobody really wants to leap. And if you're the one who takes the leap because you believe in it so much, everything will follow. It's not about failure. I've done many businesses. I figure, and for me, it's experience.
So have you had businesses fail?
Oh, yeah. I've had restaurants and nightclubs and things, you know, and the economy went bad in 2008, and we had to kind of close those things down. That's just one of many. I think this brewery's number 9 for me. Mm-hmm. I'm 36, and you know, it's not a serial entrepreneur thing. I think it's more of what's the saying? Experience is what you get when you don't get what you want. Mm-hmm. And so I've taken that really to heart and figured out what's the next step.
Now, would you agree with me that failure is really not a bad thing? It's what you learn from.
It's the best thing ever. Mm-hmm. And it's failure is, you know, you have two options. You could either fail and run and hide and go back to your 9-to-5 job and feel that you didn't accomplish anything, or you mm-hmm. could really take that and like I said, as an experience and figure out what you did from your mistakes and not do it again. And, you know, it could be anything from failure with different people or putting, like I said earlier, too many of your eggs in one basket. Mm-hmm. You know, people are going to disappoint you forever, but you have to be able to maneuver around that mm-hmm. and those types of people.
So you're doing like one or two or three kegs a week. Is that a week?
When we first started,
right?
Yeah.
All right. Small. So roughly what's your volume now?
Well, about a year ago, we just had our year anniversary last week. Mm-hmm. We opened up our brewery in Anaheim. Mm-hmm. Mayor Tate has been a great advocate for breweries. Mm-hmm. He's dubbed his city as Brew City. So for us, you know, I grew up at my ranch, Rancho Las Lomas, and Newport Beach. So Anaheim was a little far-fetched. Mm-hmm. So in being in Anaheim, it was a great choice for us. But today, we built a 20,000 square foot brewery. We have a 30 barrel brew house. We're producing about 7,000 barrels a year. Mm-hmm. A barrel of beer is 32 gallons. So a keg is, you know, a large keg is 15.5 gallons.
So are you see yourself as successful now? Have you made it in terms of brewery?
You know, I don't know what making it is. I mean, I think we are, with what we're producing right now, is it's kind of funny, with the 7,000 breweries in the country, mm-hmm. We're in the top 10%. Mm. And
top 10%
of volume. Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, you got a lot of breweries open up, and there's brew pubs, and there's small breweries making small batches and whatnot. When we decide to scale, you know, we want to chase people. We always say we're chasing people, not awards. The mm-hmm. awards will come, mm-hmm. But our focus is the people, and we want to make a quality beer for the mass market.
Well, I mean, you're actually, you must be asking people like you did when you had the garage brewery. Mm-hmm. You must be continually asking people, is this what you want? And if not, what do you want?
Yeah, I mean, we're on our third brewer. Mm-hmm. Like I said, change. You know, every step you get, you got to bring on more staff and extra people. And so recipes change. And, mm-hmm. You know, I think when we opened our brewery, we were probably 70% there. Now I think we're about 90% there.
So how many people work?
Well, I just realized last week we had our company party, and just at the brewery, I employ 25 people.
Mm-hmm. At some point between the 3 to 5 barrels a week, kegs a week, to 7,000 barrels a year, some point in there, you said, we've made it. Either you see it as, that hockey stick that we're going to take off now, or we've gotten over the hump.
Yeah.
What was that point?
I think the point was in the last 4 months.
Mm.
4 months. You know, we opened the brewery with, I think, a little bit more ego and anticipation that we already made it. We have a great brand. We know our product's good. But when you're playing with new machines, things don't come out right.
Mm.
So you're losing money. Your people are working harder than they're supposed to. And you're losing people. So I think, you know, we had a realization and kind of a change in staff and everyone this last January. And then, you know, we've realized we need more capital. And so we've been on the raise, and, you know, we've just solidified that in the last couple weeks, which has gotten us to, I think, the hockey stick up, you know, and we got a reorder from a big account like Costco, which let us know that, well, people like the beer the first time around, so
high volume but low margin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I once had a client who came to me and said, "You know, help us to thrive here." And so we did. Helped them to put, you know, to go down to Arkansas to kiss the ring at Walmart, and they came back and they said, "We got the contract." And a year later, they're coming back saying, We're sending all this stuff out, but we're still going bankrupt. What's the problem?
Yeah, it's a little different in beer. You know, we're lucky. We have the wholesale price we sell to everyone, our distributor, and then they are able.
They're the ones who are taking the hit on the margin.
So we're well, good. We don't sell. You know, we can make more if we sell direct.
No ring kissing for you.
No, we just make sure all our suppliers and our Costco people are, you know, having fun. We're, you know, supporting their golf tournaments and drinking beers with them. So.
Good. Excellent. Excellent. So, now, do you have a sales staff?
I do, yeah.
How many people?
So, it was me the first 6 months.
Sure, out of the garage.
I've been doing it
lemonade
for 4 years.
Lemonade stand.
Dropping kegs off and picking them up for, you know, my Prius. But we've now hired a new team. We have a couple guys from other large breweries in the area who are here to have taken us from, you know, about a 50% increase in the last 4 months per month.
Mm.
So we've been growing drastically. So,
well, now help me to understand. We've talked about the volume of beer coming out of first your garage and then out of the Anaheim brewery.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've switched over to talking about sales. I've worked with sales teams that have doubled or tripled their sales and they blew out the back end.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also worked with companies who had huge warehouses filled with unsold material. Mm-hmm. How do you balance that?
You know, it was the joke when we opened the brewery about a year ago was I was selling, and I would tell my brewer, I said, keep up, because I was selling too fast.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and then we were getting beer out there, the quality wasn't as good as we wanted it to be. So we were dumping beer. So I was kind of in this catch-22, selling too fast. So we kind of slowed down, perfected our quality, and, you know, we now have projections. And so we're able to fulfill. I don't oversell, and we don't undersell. So we know where we can pick it up at different areas, whether it be a Costco with our relationship there. We'll go, hey, guys, can you grab this from us? And or an Albertsons, or things like that. So,
so you can move your warehouse out.
Yeah. Yeah, so we could really, I mean, we have a distributor that picks up all of our product.
Mm.
And our distributor is the largest in the country.
Mm.
So it's Southern Glaciers Wine and Spirits. We're the only beer in their portfolio in Orange County.
Oh, in Orange County.
They're only Orange County beer. So we're their beer for Southern California,
and
which is great because we compete with ourselves. So we were lucky to get that, and so it's helped us. We have a huge sales team. I mean, they have 250 reps selling Town Park Brew.
So your sales team what? Sells to the distributors?
So our sales team is the four of us
in
Town Park, and then our distributor sales team is 250 in Southern California.
But who does your four sell to? Is it only to the distributors?
Yes.
And so how many distributors do you have?
Well, we have one distributor.
One distributor. So what's the job of the salesman?
The salesman is to make sure the distributor's salespeople are happy and follow through.
Do they manage? Is there a sense in which they manage the distributor salespeople?
They manage it, but we oversee it because they're selling other products.
Uh-huh.
So we could get lost, but being the only beer is beneficial to us. But, you know, for our job, we do sell it privately to private, you know, concerts coming up or individuals. But the beauty of them is they do the pickups, the drop-offs of these kegs, and they clean the lines for us. And they do a lot of support. So work out there. You know, I'm going today right after this to go to the Hyatt because I have a relationship there. And then I'll drop it to my sales rep from Southern, who will then follow through.
Yeah, so good. We want to take a break here shortly, and I want to come back. Now, do you guys want to be the best?
What do you mean by the best?
Well, I don't know. Is that something that is a goal that you have, to be the best?
Yeah, of course.
Well, not everybody says that, because there's a price to pay to be the best.
Yeah.
All right, so I want to come back and ask you, I'll give you a little time to think about it, but what's getting in the way between being the best and where you are right now? I want you to talk a little bit about that and see what we can do to see how you're going to go about getting there. All right?
All righty.
All right, so we will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Hi, it's time for more insights from Sandler Training. Here are some ideas on beating procrastination. Do what you hate first. The least enjoyable tasks should be done early when you're most energetic. For example, the buyer you'd rather not call should be at the top of your list. The accountability contract. A daily call with a friend outlines the dreaded things that you both should do that day. At the end of the day is where you talk about your accomplishments. The 24-hour rule. Do one thing toward accomplishing any new task as soon as it's assigned to you, and start your follow-ups aimed at finishing that task within 24 hours. Visualize completion. Think about how great you'll feel when you get it done. The more in-depth your visualization, the quicker you'll start making it happen. And that's another tip from Sandler Training, finding power through reinforcement.
So we've been talking with Brett Lawrence. One of his ventures is Rancho Las Lomas, with lots of fun out there and a venue for many weddings and parties and social service and parties for nonprofits, but also out of that came Town Park Brewery. Now, this is a craft beer. Is that what you call it?
Well, craft, I think, is a funny word that everyone uses. It's an independent beer.
Okay.
Everyone has a craft, for instance.
Uh-huh.
So anyone who's making beer, doesn't matter if you're Budweiser or us, it's a craft beer.
Oh, okay.
So people, I think, take that out of context, and I could get argued this for days, I don't care. But we're an independently owned beer.
Independently owned, garage-based.
Garage-based, yes.
Garage beer, like garage band.
Huh? Yeah.
Well, so now, before the break, we talked about, you said that you wanted to become the best. And now, where are you now? What's the difference? What would be in the way of being the best? What would you have to change to be the best?
Well, there's a couple ways of what do people consider the best? Mm-hmm. You know, you could have the best beer, which is going to win all the awards, you know, for the best IPA in the world. You have another, what's the best beer because you sell the most. So like I said earlier, we've never believed in, we're not chasing awards, we're chasing people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think best is a hard word to, I think it's more of where we see ourselves. I see ourselves as a beer that people enjoy, and we would be, I guess, the most well-known beer in Orange County would be the best, because everyone wants our product. Everyone wants to be part of our town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone wants to come to our events. So I think if we're doing the best overall in capturing those people, then we're the best.
Well, let me ask a question of your organization. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 high, 1 low, what would you say, how would you answer the question, where is the entire organization, does the entire organization know and fit in with the plan for the company?
You know, that's the difference, I think, between us two, is we're not just beer. Mm-hmm. We have experiences. Mm-hmm. When you come to our brewery, we've done 8 weddings in the last year there.
In the brewery?
In the brewery. Mm. We have an event space. We do dinner parties. We're hosting, I think, a bank tonight for a private party. We've done probably, you know, that's our thing. When people come to our experience, whether it be a group visit, Anaheim was just there last week visiting a bunch of breweries, and they didn't want to leave us because we really went to town on it. Mm-hmm. And we made this experience memorable. Beer is beer. You know, everyone makes beer, but how are you going to stand out? And I mm-hmm. think for us, you know, is instilling in our staff and our team, the community and who we are is what everyone's starting to follow. And I think we're about 80% there. Mm-hmm. You know, we're getting our staff, you know, you got to beat into someone's head 7 times before they remember it.
Sure.
But we're getting there and people are starting to recognize it. So
do you have core values?
Yeah.
What are your core values?
You know, it's community. Mm-hmm. It's experience, quality of beer. For us, it's a family to us. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure everybody feels that. And we leave our egos at the door. We always say that. Mm-hmm. You cannot come into our brewery with an ego. Mm-hmm. It's a we, us, and our team. Mm-hmm. I don't let anyone say me, my, or I, because it's all of us. So I think mm-hmm. that's kind of what I'm trying to get into everyone's brain there.
Well, when you take up accountability in your organization, people do what they say they're going to do, 1 to 10.
You know, I'm going to say 14 because everybody does more than they're supposed to do. Mm. And I think that's our biggest problem right now is we're understaffed.
Ah.
So, you know, it does bog down on people. That's why, you know, today I'm the CEO, but I'm going to go set up events and help assist our marketing person because we have 3 events in, you know, one day. Mm-hmm. So everybody, you know, with more funding coming in, which we're raising more capital, will help hire more people to grow. But like any business, you know, everyone of my employees owns equity in this business. Mm. So mm-hmm. we're company owned business. Mm-hmm. And for me, I think makes them work harder because they have a piece of the pie. Mm-hmm. And so that's the we in that. So we do work more than we're supposed to.
And do you see that as a problem?
It is in some senses, mm-hmm. but you know, it's always, we're figuring it out. Mm-hmm. And I think people believe. And they believe in this process, you know, and they believe in us and I think our values. So it's a problem, but it shows the quality of the people that, and it's going to make them, I think, more successful at the end because whatever they learn from us, mm-hmm. Here, they could take it anywhere else, but they have equity in this. So if it's a money thing for them, they'll work harder and they'll make more money at the end.
So you have meetings from time to time.
Yeah.
Quality of meetings, 1 to 10.
Meeting, quality of the meetings. They vary. Shoot, sometimes they're 1 and sometimes they're 10s.
Yeah.
No. The ones with beer usually are 10s.
Yeah.
With the beer involved. Yeah, yeah. When we're doing tastings and stuff. Uh-huh. But, you know, sometimes it is. And so it's like I said, we're overworked ourselves. We all come in on a Monday and we're just beat each other up. And then we calm down and we get back to an 8. So just like any business, but it's never a, you know, yelling or screaming. It's more of a, let's solve this. How do we respect each other? I mean, we're man, woman owned. It's all of us.
Mm-hmm. But that's something you want to work on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
All right. So when you, what have you learned in the last, you guys have been doing this for a year now, a year and a couple of months?
Yeah, 1 year. Exactly. One year we opened this brewery.
Oh, okay.
The brand has been around for 4 years.
All right. So what have you learned? What would be 3 or 4 lessons that you have learned that if you could go back, you would be able to do it differently?
I think, you know, trusting people, like I said earlier, is putting all my eggs in one basket. You know, that right there, you want to believe and trust everyone, but it's tough. Hmm. That's hard. So, but I don't take that back. I think I grew from it, made mm-hmm. me stronger mm-hmm. as a person to work with other people mm-hmm. in the future. I think another thing was to not grow so fast at the beginning. You know, we grew really quick. We put it out there and the quality of beer wasn't there. I think we should have focused more on quality. which now we have our quality there. So it was a blessing in disguise. And I think to be more aware of our finances too, like I said, we should have raised more capital at the beginning. I've been lucky to have a great support team of not only my family, but we have outside investors as well. So I'm not the numbers guy, but I think if I would have been more aware of that, it all falls back on me. So those are the three things: finances, people, and speed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what are you doing now with regard to, I mean, how has that changed you? You talk about trusting people. How has that changed what you do when you hire, associate, bring on board?
Yeah. You know, like I said, people now have to be with the company for a certain amount of years to earn equity.
Mm.
It's not just, oh, here, jump on board, you get your X percent. It's you got to earn it. You got to vest it. Mm. It's also, you know, I have a bigger team now for them to really prove themselves. I'm not afraid of losing someone in the sense because I know I could rehire them. I could hire somebody new. And before, when you're starting up, you're really afraid that you're going to, if you lose that person, mm-hmm. you lose your chef, it's never going to be the same. But there's a lot of good chefs out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you kind of have to, you know, whether it's your best friend or your family member or whatever, there's other people that can make pizzas.
Right, right.
There's a lot of other people out there.
Do you find that if you're not careful, you can wind up with people who don't agree with your core values?
Oh, yeah. And one kink in the wheel will ruin the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's going to have a different opinion. Everybody's going to have their two cents, and I let everybody speak.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, it comes down to a group decision, and I'll make sure we follow our values.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's that kink in the wheel and they don't agree with it, well, then they're not going to be part of our team.
Right. I mean,
they're gone. Yeah.
That's a pretty big part of having a company with a culture is everybody mm-hmm. knowing what the core values are and living them out consistently.
Yeah.
And if they don't, at least in my relationship with companies, if they don't, there's only one or two things that happens. They're either in a developmental program to get with the values, mm-hmm. and that's, you know, you got to do that in a certain period of time. That's not forever, but you mm-hmm. have a developmental program, or they're being replaced.
Yeah, you're replaced. I think that's the easiest thing. We don't have the finances to have a developmental program yet, but I think, you know, that's something to get towards because mm-hmm. it's a lot of work. You have so many different personalities.
In terms of values, it's let me tell you where I see you, three specific areas where I see you not living up to the values.
Yeah.
Do you want to?
Yeah.
And if you do, then tell me how you're going to make these changes. What are you going to do to make that change so that you are living up to the values? Because otherwise, can't be here.
Yeah, I mean, you know what the thing is I think people are put into a position where they either that individual thinks they're good at mm-hmm. and or the company, you know, hopes they were good at,
mm-hmm.
but they might actually better in a different position.
Yeah. All right. Now, values is the right, what we call the right person.
Yeah.
Right? Now, right seat,
mm-hmm.
that's what I think you're beginning to talk about now. I mean, that we call that get it. They get where the company's going. They understand what this position is about. They want to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're bouncing out of the bed in the morning to do it. I'm not here just for a paycheck.
Yeah.
I'm here because I love doing this.
Yeah.
And then C, they're capable of it. GWC. Mm-hmm. Get it, want it, and they're capable of it.
100%. I agree.
And so how do you use that at Town Brewery?
I think, like you said, is we gather the people and we really put everyone in every position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we not only interview them in the process and all the above there, but we start someone out. You need to know about the beer. Mm-hmm. You need to go brew.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care if you've brewed in your life, but you need, if you're selling our beer, you need to know how to make our beer.
Oh, nice.
So we'll throw them, you need to know how to keg it. You need to know how to package it. You need to know how to go to a brewery and clean their line or a restaurant and clean the lines.
Mm.
You need to know how to change the keg out. You need to know it's not just selling and talking and tasting people on our beer. It's everything.
Mm.
So for us, you know, and then from there, I think people realize, wow, I love this part. You know what? Or they'll start from brewing and want to be in sales because they love talking about the product.
Mm-hmm.
So we could kind of transition people from there, but they really have to start in the back of the house.
So you're throwing them in the deep end of the pool.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right.
It's like the CEOs and the big, you know, tech companies, they give their employees a desk and they go build your own desk and figure it out, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that makes a stronger person. is to know every front of house, back of house. You got to know it. No one's different. You're selling the beer at the bar, or you're selling, you're making the beer, you're cleaning the kegs.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard labor, but it's rewarding.
Now, do you have difficulty finding people?
You know, especially with the beer world growing, yes, assistant brewers and brewers who are experienced there, but we have no problem finding people who can help assist that bottling, packaging. Our team was green. They didn't know anything. They came from bartenders to figure it out. And we do have a couple pros who know this, but it's like when people looked at me and they go, well, why are you with Southern Wine and Spirits for beer? They don't know anything about beer. They sell wine and spirits. I go, but they know how to sell.
Mm-hmm.
So it was that whole thing. And I went with them and now we're crushing it. And they're learning about beer. I've taught them about beer. We've educated them, and they're realizing they can make a lot of money. And, you know, you kind of steer them into that. So salesperson doesn't have to come from a beer background to sell our beer. They just need to learn about it and be a good salesperson.
Now, so what do you say to somebody who doesn't drink a lot of beer but is interested in learning about beer? I mean, I grew up, my dad, it was Bud and Bud Light. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, since we were in South Texas, maybe from time to time it was a Corona, but it was generally Bud or Bud Light. So, well, that's not your beer.
Yeah, I mean, you know, our beer's drinkable, like I said, and my mom was never a beer drinker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she would have a pizza and then a Bud Light back in the day. So I took her on a tour of a bunch of breweries up in NorCal. And she kind of, I think, saw the process of it, and that it's more, I think when people figure out and they see how the beer process is being made and how intricate it is, and then to really try it off the tanks and to see the proud people, the craftsmen who are making this product, you know, it changed her perspective. Now she'll drink IPAs, which are bitter and harder. So people who don't really drink beer, when they come to us, our beer is approachable. Like I said, it's not Budweiser, Bud Light. It's not as light as those beers, but we do have a lager, a Mexican lager that's really popular right now. And that beer, it would be, you know, like a Modelo. It's a drinkable beer, but it's a local, independently owned beer, and people want to support your local independent company. So I think that's where, you know, we as craft brewers, independently craft brewing companies, that's how we are kind of standing out and taking the market share from the big boys.
All right, so tell us what are the various flavors,
styles?
Sorry, you got Mexican lager.
Yeah, so your Mexican lager, we have a delicious one. We call it the Chela, the Town Chela.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have our best-selling beer, which is the Town Blonde. That one's at Angel Stadium, Dodgers. That one's all over Costco.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really drinkable, a little bit sweeter than mm-hmm. your lagers, a little bit not light and drinkable.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have your IPA, which is an India Pale Ale, a little mm-hmm. bit more bitter. Ours, of course, isn't as bitter as those big ones, not so heavy, so ours is approachable.
Mm-hmm.
We also have our White Ale, which is kind of like a Hefeweizen. So that's out to market right now. You'll find that at Ruth Chris and a couple other big restaurants, but We have 16 taps total at our brewery.
Oh, really? 16.
Yeah. So the ones I gave you are the ones pretty much to market
mm-hmm.
Through our distributor. But we have 16 other ones that we want to play around with. Anything from a double IPA to a goes.
A double IPA would be?
It's a little higher alcohol content.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you're getting in the, you know, you're only going to have one of those instead of two.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we have loquat saison. Our property ranch, Las Lomas, as I mentioned, we infuse liquors out at that property for beer and wine tasting and liquor tasting. But we'll take those fruits and infuse them into our beers. So we've done different types of beers with different types of flavors as well. So the brewery, it's always changing. We just did an Oktoberfest beer that just came out. We just did a black IPA. We have a coffee stout, nitro, all that.
Coffee stout. My goodness. All right. Now, so where do you find all of these? I mean, you're saying that like some of them are in Ruth Chris, some of them in Costco.
Yeah. So the top easy ones, the blondes, the whites, the lagers, the IPAs, mm-hmm. those are everywhere. You mostly Orange County, we're distributed through Southern California. Mm-hmm. So we have a deal with K1 Racing. We have all four cans at all the K1s in California. We work with the Hilton, the Marriotts, and all the rest hotels around here. Rancho Las Lomas exclusively carries all of our beers, of course. And then our caterers, 24 Karats, catering special events. They're our partners.
24 Karats.
Catering, that, yeah.
That's yours?
No, we're partners with them at Rancho Las Lomas.
Oh, because so, I know them well.
Yeah, so they're exclusive catering. And they have our product. All six of our core beers are distributed through all of their venues and events. So we've been lucky to have that partnership. And I mean, anything from Billy's at the beach in Newport Beach to, you know, CPK mm-hmm. to Applebee's, we're going after everyone.
Now, in restaurants, are they all on tap?
Majority. Mm-hmm. Restaurants, we call it on-premise. That's your bars with the taps. Restaurants that don't have that, Ruth Chris, couple don't, Mastro's right here next door, they have bottles. Your higher end places like Rancho and the hotels will carry bottles because of the venue. You know, it's, I guess, your wedding wants bottles, not cans. Mm-hmm. But, and then our cans are poolside at, of course, the hotels and things like that, and Dodger Stadium and all the Angel Stadium and all those guys. So,
one of the things that's curious to me is when you begin to pull all these things together, you have to find vendors. I mean, when you're doing the garage, you can buy bottles from Amazon, right, or Alibaba,
yeah.
but how do you pull together vendors for 7,000 barrels or a year?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, there's a back order on cans right now, a shortage, and so a lot of these smaller breweries, you know, you got to order a truckload. It's 24 pallets. That's 8,000 cans per pallet, and you got to order one per flavor. So for us, you know, we got to really forecast how much beer you're really going to do of that flavor, and then you get your cost down and they'll ship it to you over the little guy. Mm. So we are out there searching for grain deals, yeast deals, can deals, keg deals, packaging as well. We're buying in bulk, so we're able to get it cheaper, and like I said, they'll work with us more than the little guy because they're going to make more money off us as well.
Now, talk to me about, you mentioned that you had people come to the brewery for, was that for dinner?
So we are open 5 days a week, uh-huh. Tuesday through Sunday, mm-hmm. and we have anything from live bands, food trucks. We have a full bar there, all 16 taps, but we have an event space, so we do private parties, and people can do their own dinners. They have caterers come in, 24 has done stuff, or we do weddings there. Mm. So it's our little tap room.
So if I had a group of 30 people, mm-hmm. and I wanted to have a party there,
yep.
I could get 24 Karats to cater it. Mm-hmm. And we would use your event space.
Of course.
And your 16 taps.
Of course.
And that could be a lot of fun.
100%.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
It's, yeah.
All right.
It's the best.
Because right now we're doing that party at the Marriott at the Spectrum.
Okay.
And we do that once a quarter. So we'd talk about how we could come out and have fun there
sometime.
Oh,
you come to us. It's a fun experience with us.
Good. So where is the brewery in Anaheim?
So we're 2 miles north of Disneyland, so we're considered the Upper West Side. Mm-hmm. We are off Lincoln and the 5 freeway.
Oh, right off the 5.
Yeah.
So what would you like to tell people? What is it that you would like to have them do?
Now, drink our beer.
Yeah.
You know, number one, I think, of course, I have product. I have Rancho Las Lomas, and I enjoy showing people that I had an opportunity and I ran with it. I enjoy sharing what I have with other people. I still don't take a salary from anything because I want the business to thrive. I enjoy this opportunity to employ people and the challenges that come with it. One day I want to start my own family, of course, and maybe I'll start paying myself then. But I've been fortunate enough to have the support of, you know, family and friends. Mm-hmm. So I think what people could leave from this is, yeah, of course, go out there, drink our beer. But if you have an idea and, you know, you're stuck in an office and you don't want to do that, I think that I want them to leave with, you can do it. It's. I always say my quote is, well, why not?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you don't risk anything, then you ultimately risk everything.
Mm-hmm.
So go for it.
So how would they get in touch with you if they want to talk more?
Anytime. My personal email is Brett, B-R-E-T-T, at townparkbrew.com. Mm-hmm. There's an E in town, T-O-W-N-E. And that's the easiest way. We're on social media, so @townparkbrew. And we have our website, www.townparkbrew.com.
Now, if they wanted to find out more about the wine and beer tasting at Rancho, what would they do?
Yeah, you could email over there, it's tastings, plural, at RanchoLasLomas.com.
Okay, so they could see it on RanchoLasLomas.com.
Yeah, and our Instagram as well, Rancho Las Lomas, and Facebook.
Good, good.
So we're socially heavy on Rancho Las Lomas and Town Park Brew.
Excellent. Well, Brett, this has been just a breath of fresh air.
Right.
And excitement about some beer. I'm going over, I said, to meet a client at Seasons 52 right after this, and I'm going to ask him.
Make sure.
How about something you got on tap from the brewery?
Perfect.
The best brewery, right?
They're good. And if they don't have it on right now, make sure they put it on.
Put it on. Town Park.
I'll go over right now.
All right. Thanks a lot. This has been wonderful to talk to Brett Lawrence, one of the kids that grew up in Orange County at Corona Del Mar High School and is now a contributing member of the Orange County business community. So thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you.
Another way to see how businesses in California thrive.
You've been listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. To hear more of the programs in this podcast, go to www.willcrist.com.